once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 139. This week we will be talking Wolverine and the X-Men, not the cartoon series, but a comic book franchise, but a combination of those two in some fashion. Joining us this week we have Nicholas.
I'd like to read a prepared statement. Ladies and gentlemen, the press, the world, Mr. President, Prince George Charles Louis. Woke up to the club, like, what up? I've got a big cock. So I'm pumped about some shit from the first stop. Ice on the fringe, it's so damn frosty that people are like, damn, that's a cold-ass honky. Rolling in hella deep, heading to the mezzanine, dressed in all pink, except my gator shoes, those are green, draped in a leopard mink, girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this, smells like R. Kelly sheets. Thank you.
Okay, then. And Trent, how are you following up with that?
I'm wonderful. Some woman over in the UK had a baby, so the entirety of the Commonwealth is excited.
Yes, and we're super excited about it too, apparently, because you haven't been able to.
It's still a bin in the Commonwealth.
I don't know why either.
And now I repeat my joke from Twitter. I don't know why they chose Namor as his name, but I'll roll with it.
What is his name?
Namor, Imperius Rex.
I had no idea. Literally, like, the funny thing about Canadian news media is that it's been everywhere in our news, but none of us really care, because when you think about it, like, all this kid is going to grow up to be is a wealthy landowner. You know what I mean? It's not like the royalty make any decisions in the political spectrum anymore.
Yeah, and it's even W, so when they have no impact on us whatsoever, so. But we've been covering this wall to wall, every single aspect of it.
I'll be honest, if people hadn't been talking about it on Twitter, I would have no idea it was going on.
Twitter really is the best place to get news.
The best and worst place, because sometimes people don't vet the stuff before. I mean, how many people have they written off as dead before?
Yeah, but see, when stuff like that happens, I always Google it first.
Yeah, and there are news stories that, you know, because sometimes people are just in a rush to kind of get stuff out there, and then it's like it gets out there and it spreads, and then it's like it comes out that it wasn't true or, you know, made up or whatever, but we're not here. I mean, social media is great in that aspect. It's one of the reasons a lot of my friends sign up is because you tend to get a lot of news faster. But, you know, like they said, believe half of what is it? Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear?
Believe nothing. Trust no one. Truth is out there.
Oh, that's going to make you a very happy-go-lucky person.
Image is nothing. Thirst is everything.
Do-do-do.
Anyway, how are you, Earl?
I am super duper. I'm super excited, and I know that's not something that usually happens on the internet, about the announcement of Superman, Batman, and Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. So that was a good Comic-Con announcements for me. It really is sad that Comic-Con is really, comics take a real huge backseat to it now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything of importance that got announced for comics.
Like, it's more or less like a massive nerd convention, right?
It's like an entertainment thing now.
Which is okay. One thing I will say is, I know everyone's all like excited about this Superman-Batman thing, but this isn't the first time it's been proposed. It was back in the 90s. It was really close to fruition back in the early 2000s. Actually, if you go back and watch I Am Legend, one of the big billboards says Superman versus Batman, and that never came to fruition. So a big part of me feels like they are not going to be able to nut up and actually create that movie.
I think the difference here, and I could be mistaken, is that this one's officially announced. I think the other ones were like, they were working on it behind the scenes. I don't think they ever officially came out and said, like, okay, this is out in 2 years. We have a date and stuff like that. We have Superman.
They're stuck now.
Yeah, it's kind of like, like they can go back and say, they could just have Batman cameo. They didn't say he was going to be a big star in it, but they can't really retreat now.
No, but they can't really do that since he's in the title.
Well, they haven't announced it. I mean,
no, they announced the title.
I thought it was only rumored to be Superman, Batman. Or was it? It's rumored to be Superman versus Batman or Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
because the way they announced it was confusing, because they were like, this is Man of Steel 2, but Batman will be in it. And then, yeah, the press release came out. I think they could have handled the announcement better, but, you know, that's me. I'm hoping.
Is it being done by Zack Snyder? Do we know?
Yes. He's directing with David Goyer writing.
Okay. If you remember my Man of Steel review, I really didn't dislike Man of Steel, but the biggest problem with it was how it kind of framed the man himself. And a lot of the aesthetic decisions that were made to present him a certain way were apparently frowned upon by Christopher Nolan and reinforced by Zack Snyder. So, like, the instances where someone decides to crack someone else's head, or Superman decides not to save someone, or Superman decides to cause $8 billion worth of property damage, that was all Snyder. And that kind of concerns me.
I feel like that's going
Snyder
to...
And Goyer. Don't leave him
in. Yeah. I feel like Christopher Nolan's going to have a bigger part in this because of the Batman franchise he just nurtured. Like, this isn't related to his franchise, but he is back on as producer.
Is this kind of like, are we looking at kind of a Batman Beyond thing where the person playing Batman is the guy that was kind of handed the reins at the end of the...
They haven't gone into detail with this. What I'm hoping is that this is just their way of doing a reboot of Batman film without going through the entire origins again.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah. We already know Batman's origins. We know Superman's origins kind of put them together. I mean, the thing I don't want, and it probably is, I don't want 2 hours of them just fighting each other. I honestly don't want them fighting each other because the fights don't make sense. But they do need some type of conflict because every team that forms at some point has to get into an altercation between themselves before they become friends.
Yeah, and this is something that I never really got about the comics either, because they've done the versus thing in the comics as well, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, unless like Batman develops a batarang that's infused with magical power, or, I don't know, Superman finds himself on top of a mountain of kryptonite, it's really not a fair fight.
No, but the way they usually write it is that one, Batman's always uber prepared, so he has some form of kryptonite. And I don't even know about the New 52 continuity. Current continuity, no, actually, New 52, this was just a story as well. Superman gives him a piece of kryptonite so that, you know, in worst case scenario. The other thing is, from Superman's side, is Superman always holds back. So it's always been a fairer fight because Superman's not using the full of his ability and Batman is always have kryptonite. But like you said, it doesn't make sense, which is why I don't like when they fight, because they don't really fight that often. This is Elseworlds tales and people want to... And this is why I'm not a huge fan of him using The Dark Knight Returns as the way to kind of launch this movie. It's because that's one of the worst portrayals of Superman to me. Because Superman's basically a government tool in that film, and I feel like at the end of Man of Steel, that was pretty much what he was going against, is that he won't be a toy for the government to spy on and use as they see fit. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do, because that Superman doesn't really work in the Man of Steel universe, and I don't think anybody wants that Batman ever.
No, I don't think so.
I still haven't seen it.
Really?
You still haven't seen it? Oh. Well, we just fought a bunch of Man of Steel fanatics.
I knew about it anyway. I've read reviews. I've read what people talked about.
I did actually see Pacific Rim.
Yay!
Hey, and
where the three people have.
I was going to rate and made a lot of money.
Overseas has done well.
It did pretty good here, too. It just didn't, like, do insanely Inception numbers.
Well, it
did not. In terms of giant robot movies, it did not do well domestically. Have you seen Transformers?
That has brand recognition, though, is the problem with that.
I was gonna say,
people go see that because they liked the cartoon when they were five.
Even then, it's all you made back, a third of its budget so far?
I disagree with that completely. I would argue that a majority of the portion of the audience that went to see Transformers went to it because of the trailers. I would argue that so many of the white middle America, fat old people that went to see it, and they went in droves, had not seen the cartoon beforehand.
I would argue against that.
I don't think that there is brand recognition either. I literally think it was... Michael Bay is doing this film. It's going to be big and have a lot of explosions. The trailer is really wowing people. That's why they went.
Listen, I'm not going to pull out this card very often, but I think the fact that you're from Canada is blinding you a little bit to this.
Is this?
As I grew up in the 80s when this was a thing, And yeah, no, there is a whole generation of people and their parents and their kids who are like super into the cartoons.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
they have conventions. Transformers conventions.
You can also see that in, like, they got the old voice for Optimus Prime back and stuff like that. So there was that type of, oh, this is what we grew up on the big stage. But I mean, I think part of it was what Trent was saying as well. It's a huge spectacle film. I've seen the show before. Michael Bay makes movies you want to see in theater. Nowhere else.
Oh, how did the island do?
Well, that didn't seem, I mean, that didn't have giant robots in it.
It was a Michael Bay film. So therefore, your hypothesis should be more.
Well, how many films has he made? How many films has he made that hasn't done well at the box office?
A few. How did Pain and Gain do?
Pain and Gain did well for what it was.
Did it do well?
Let's see. Oh, maybe not. Its lifetime gross was about $50 million. Of a $26 million budget. That's not bad.
No. Anyway, the long and the short is, I did see it. I big giant robots fighting big giant monsters, so I can't hate it. I fundamentally can't hate it. But I was really surprised, considering how long it was, that there was so little characterization in it. Like, not only do I not remember most of the characters, but it took me 20 minutes to figure out which one of the two brothers died at the start of the movie. Like, do you know, did that happen to you?
Nope. I didn't lose track of the characters because the characters were all pretty much archetypes.
Yeah.
So I could understand like the confusion. I didn't even think the brother was that important. I figured the brother was going to bite it at the start. I thought you were going to say that there was so few giant robot fights. And I feel like a lot of the key fights was thrown in the trailers already.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. I'm actually happy with it being one and done. I don't need a sequel or a prequel or anything else in the franchise. It would be nice, but as a standalone movie, it works well. So yeah, is that any other movies you want to talk about before you get to this X-Men podcast?
Sure. I saw Only God Forgives.
Oh, I want to see that.
How is that? I've heard really good
things. Well, it's on iTunes. It's on iTunes and it's on PlayStation 3. It's on Hulu. If there's an instant streaming service, it is there. So all you have to do is rent it. So this is Nicholas Winding and Renan, who you would remember from Drive. And this is the follow-up. It also stars Ryan Gosling, and it has the same music composer backing it. It's getting horrible reviews. It was booed at Cannes, and I really, really liked it. And I would recommend any person who is a fan of film and is okay with a lot of existential stuff and metaphor and symbolism, if you're interested in understanding a difficult movie that's very stylish all the same, I would suggest you check out Only God Forgives.
Okay, wait. How was it?
I'm surprised people like are booing movie and because have they seen Valhalla Rising? Because every complaint I've heard people make about this movie is like pretty much Valhalla Rising was like that. Did you miss that he likes this type of stuff? Except Valhalla Rising was Vikings and awesome.
Well, the thing that a lot of people are getting stuck on is to them it seems like mindless. Like I think a lot of people went into this movie expecting another neo-noir crime thriller. Mm-hmm. And a part of that is they saw so much violence and they're like, why is there so much violence? But this is actually kind of like a high fantasy Western that takes place in the Far East. And the interesting thing about it is it's the characters are not themselves characters so much as they are analogs for something else. So one character basically represents the devil, one character basically represents God, and one character basically represents humanity. And when you understand that dynamic, every piece of violence and everything that happens in the movie makes perfect sense. But if you go into the movie expecting it to be really like dumb, to not have any symbols or any messaging attached to any of the characters or the dialogue, then you're not going to understand why the violence is there and what the violence means. a big part of it is Western audience. I like mainstream audiences are going to hate this movie just because they're not going to get it. But it's great. I really liked it. It has flaws. I feel like a lot of the scenes kind of linger on dialogue. You know when you're seeing Drive, like, you know those sequences where someone says a piece of dialogue and then there's a pause, and then another person says a really short line, and then there's a pause, and then it cuts away to the next scene. And they do the pause because they're either trying to abridge events or they're trying to make the dialogue itself more poignant. And that happens a lot in Only God Forgives. In fact, I would argue it happens about 10 times more than it did in Drive. The problem is it gets to a point where it's like, okay, come on, let's get the movie moving forward. but for the most part, I thought it was a great film. Yeah, I think you would like it, Nick.
I'm going to watch the shit out of it.
Okay,
you
I
do
wanted...
that.
I'm
did,
so how excited.
How
I
did
love
this
Nicholas
work
Winding
exactly?
Rain. His
how did this work
awesome.
Exactly, though? Like, it skipped theaters, or is it theaters and home release at the same time?
It was limited release in theaters. It is currently in theaters, but, like, in Canada, for instance, it's only in, like, 4 theaters. And those are in, like, Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, and Halifax. So everyone else is kind of boned. So the day it went to limited release in theaters, it also hit iTunes and Hulu and the PlayStation Store. And again, basically, if there's a streaming service that you can pay money to rent a movie, it's probably there right now.
Welcome to the new distribution model, kids.
I know. It's the 21st
I
century.
I love it. Huh? I love it. I got to see Upstream Color and do a review for it. I didn't have to go to the theater in the middle of nowhere.
Isn't that wonderful?
Speaking of which, you guys should both see that movie.
That's
Upstream Color.
Is it good?
Upstream Color? Yeah. That's my favorite movie this year. Like, straight up.
Really?
It's okay. Well, I loved Primer. Primer is an amazing film. And this one is just so completely different from it.
Wait, like, wait. We're talking about Primer, and you're like, Primer is an amazing film.
I love that movie.
I like Primer because it is challenging, and it's impressive that they were able to put out that kind of well-thought-out, intelligent movie under such a small budget. And the fact that anyone can watch it pretty much at any time is really awesome, too. But it is a really challenging movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, it's not just that, but it's that.
Like it. You probably like it because you understand not only the time dynamics that they're playing with, but also the Ponzi scheme that they're running alongside the time dynamics.
Kind of.
A lot of people, that'll fly over their heads.
Yeah, kind of, but also because I'm impressed that dude, like Shane Carruth, did most of the work on it himself. Like,
well,
directed. He directed
too, right?
Yeah. He directed, wrote, shot, obviously it was the camera. Most of the cinematography, edited, did all the music, and starred in it.
Mm.
He did with Primer, too. I mean, Primer, Upstream Color, same thing. He was the director, writer, editor, music, and stars in it. But I can't describe it. Like, it's one of those movies that's like you can't really describe it because you describe the plot, and it's like, well, nothing really happens. But it's not what happens, it's how it happens. It's important.
Yeah.
It's like a beautiful, like, it's one of those movies I kind of wish I could have seen in theaters.
Journey. It is the journey.
Yeah, literally, it is literally that. It's the journey and how it's presented.
Yeah. Earl, have you watched Primer?
No, wait. I have seen Primer, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many moons ago.
Like, it's the type of movie that you either hear people, like, raving about or hear a lot of people being pissed off about.
Sounded good.
I actually think Primer was one of those movies that was recommended on one of our earlier shows that I ended up watching on Netflix.
Holla. It's probably me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very trippy movie. any other films since apparently we were just going through this summer?
I saw Despicable Me too.
How is that?
It's okay.
I'm surprised. It is keen enough to...
I heard it was good, but not great.
No, it's cute. It seemed like it was it should have been a, like, it didn't need to be feature length. Like, there was a lot of padding, I feel. But it was cute, I guess. And I don't know. I like the first one more. This one seemed to have less of a reason to exist.
Well, it was money. I mean, the first one
didn't
really, well, such a tiny budget, but Yeah, and it seems like bigger than the movie. It seems like the minions have taken off to be these huge side characters.
Oh yeah, there's a Minion movie coming out next year.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's just they're like them like auditioning for other villains or something like that. I don't remember, but yeah, they're doing a movie that's just them next year.
Oh, yeah. I was saying this on Twitter, and this would be annoying as hell. I don't know if any of you play the Rabbids games.
Nope.
But if the Rabbids ever teamed up with the Minions, I think that'd be a cash cow for kids, but it'd be annoying as hell for an adult. I think that's it. I want to check out Word of Moya's this weekend if somebody wants to go with me. And I think everything else, like Pacific Rim, we mentioned Man of Steel. White House Down, I thought was fun. Nothing special. But, yeah, we're going into our next major film, or possible major film, The Wolverine.
Tell me of this Wolverine. I'm not familiar with him.
Well,
he's some sort of animal?
He is the Wolverine, Chris Benoit's biopic.
Whoa!
Oh, all about him being a terrible parent.
But there is an actual...
That's actually happening, and it's called
Crossface. There is an actual biopic about him.
Yeah, it's called Crossface. And it is being apparently in pre-production as we speak. I can't wait to see who they get to play Vince McMahon. It'll be great. By great, I mean it'll be the worst.
I guess the WWE can't really stop this film. They don't have rights to, yeah. So, but yes, the Wolverine. I believe this is Hugh Jackman's 7th time as Wolverine now.
If we're including Days of Future Past, then yeah, it would be 7.
Yeah, well, it would be 6 then, and then Days of Future Past would be 7.
Okay, so this is his 6th appearance, which is easier to record that he currently holds anyhow. So most appearances are the same character in a comic book movie. I guess 2nd would be Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr.
Nope.
Get around.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, I think Hugh Jackman has done a lot to define Wolverine, and Wolverine has done a lot to define his career. Did he have a career before the first X-Men movie? I mean, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, man, he was in musicals and stuff. He was a big Broadway hotshot. Like, that's how they...
Interesting, because he was probably the worst actor in Les Mis.
Nah, I don't know. You see, it was Russell Crowe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Russell Crowe. I retract my previous statement.
I have very strong feelings about that film. Hugh Jackman is not the problem for me. Even though I think, you know, the whole musical thing.
Russell Crowe was phoning it in. It works better as a stage play, though. I still don't understand why they would ever turn it into a movie, but...
Well,
neither here nor there.
Yeah, so... This will be his 13th year playing this character, 6th role.
And he looks fairly young.
He doesn't look like he ages as much.
Yeah, they look down in that department. Imagine if he was one of those dudes who just, like, aged, like, suddenly. Like, he's, like, young and vibrant, and then a year later he looks like fucking Ian McKellen or some shit. Suddenly he turned into John Hurt overnight. I don't know what happened.
But, yes, And I think, I mean, even before Hugh Jackman took over, I feel like Wolverine had become the face of the X-Men franchise through the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It was quite interesting. I mean, growing up, Wolverine was kind of the X-Men for me, but it was kind of interesting because I went back, I think, a couple of years ago and I was reading, like, old Marvel stories, and I think it was Secret Wars, where he just gets pwned by Spider-Man so hard in that comic, and that would never happen these days.
Oh, no.
Wolverine's on like 50 teams currently anyhow. And I think we've had this discussion before. I don't read X-Men comics enough because I always feel like X-Men comics are so divorced from everything else in the universe. Or the Marvel universe, not the universe.
I think they're pretty divorced from the actual universe too.
I'm
pretty sure the actions of Wolverine and Cyclops and Havoc and Magneto do not affect the motion of the planets.
You never know. But yeah, I mean, I guess this is more for Nicias. Do you know like when or how that transition began?
Oh, to him being like King Shinnafuck Mountain?
Yeah.
I was in the 80s. It was definitely the Byrne Claremont X-Men stuff, like that started it, like all Dark Phoenix, all that, the new, all new, all different X-Men, and like continued to that. Like he slowly became like the Dark Horse. The people were like, holy shit, this dude's awesome. I would say probably, don't quote me on this, but I would gather it's probably the Frank Miller Claremont Wolverine miniseries that was like the first thing that blew up, I guess. I don't know if that's the way to put it, but that was like the first inkling that people had. Like, oh, wait, people love this dude. But his like big, I think the first big moment for him was in the Dark Phoenix saga. Is the, I don't remember what issue it is, but when they, when they're fighting the Hellfire Club and he gets like knocked down in the sewers. And there's that one shot at the end, like the end of the issue where he's been, everybody's counting him out. They're like, oh, he's dead or whatever. He's gone. He's out of the count. And they just show him like in the sewer, like putting his claws out. He's like, they've had their shot. Now it'll be my turn. And he just goes on a rampage, like tearing through the entire Hellfire Club by himself. I think that was like the big, holy shit, Wolverine's awesome moment.
And that pretty much has become his MO. He has been kind of the own wolf of the X-Men franchise. Even though he remains on the team, he still kind of prefers to work solo, which is always odd because his other big major reputation is he tends to be the guy who kind of hooks up, not hooks up, but tends to be the mentor for the youngest female on the team. In the anime.
Again, started with the Claremont Byrne stuff with Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. And that was going to be the first X-Men cartoon, Pride of the X-Men, where it would have been Kitty Pryde and Wolverine kind of as the center point.
Yeah, as the Australian member of the team. He was Australian for some reason in that.
Well, I mean, he ended up being Australian in the movie. Well, not, well, you know what I mean.
No, but I mean, like, he had an Australian accent.
Oh, yeah, I know. But it worked out well because Hugh Jackman is Australian, so he became it eventually. And then we got the second X-Men cartoon where he was teamed up with Jubilee.
Actually, you just made me think of an irony. How funny is it that the premiere, I don't want to say premiere, but like the superhero most people know about that I would say is Canadian, was originally going to be played by a British actor and then ended up being played by an Australian. Canada's right there, guys. There's a whole bunch of actors from it.
Well, I mean,
you don't have to go to other countries for it.
I mean, to be fair, the most American hero is being played by a Brit.
Again, yeah. Most of them are.
Yeah.
Spider-Man? Superman? Batman?
Maybe.
Let's just put that out there. Superman is a Canadian creation.
That is true.
Still not being played by a Canadian either. I mean... the only one I think we currently have, we don't talk about that era. I was going to say, the only one we might have currently is Captain America.
And Iron Man.
And Iron Man.
And Hawkeye.
We're not going to count Hawkeye.
And the Hulk.
Who's been in like two movies and probably had combined 15 minutes in both of them.
Which is kind of a shame. I always liked this character in the Avengers. Not the Avengers, the movie, but like.
Yeah, we kind of got into that last week on the show, and I enjoy his dynamic with him and the Hulk. And
I like his dynamic with him and Captain America because I've always found them to be headbutting, which is why when I was watching the Avengers, I was like, why are these two not fucking up with each other?
It was one of my big complaints with the Avengers is the one guy, the two people who didn't have a solo film coming into this, they took one out of play within the first 10 minutes and the other one where he didn't have any character development, so what can you do? But yeah, so we mentioned Wolverine and his, but he had Kitty, he had Jubilee, the X-Men movies introduced Rogue.
There was Armor in Whedon's run, the Astonishing X-Men stories.
What happened now?
In Joss Whedon's run, the Astonishing X-Men, he had the girl named Armor. One of the students he was mentoring.
There was, I believe it's X-Men Legends, where they introduced Magmar, and he was mentoring her as well. And I don't remember if they had one. And I think X-23 recently, but that's a slightly different case since she's coming through the same program he did.
He's his clone.
That's not
quite creepy. quite literally.
But yeah,
she's
it's
up his flesh.
I don't know where that came from either. It is always odd. I guess it makes sense you put the tough loner with a girl to make him seem more sensitive.
Well, it's super Asian because you have the Ronin stereotype, which he fulfills like the archetype of the masterless warrior, and then you have the lone wolf and cub stories, which is a warrior with a baby, in this case, a young girl who he mentors and takes around when he kills the shit out of people, as Wolverine is wont to do.
Even though I think he's toned that down in recent years.
That's a shame.
Well, I mean, like I said, in recent years, I think after the events of Avengers versus X-Men, there we go.
I don't know. One of the things I haven't been reading.
In one of these recent events, he's kind of become the leader of the X-Men or an X-Men team. There's a faction led by him and there's a faction led by Cyclops. Wolverine has kind of gotten around. He has gotten to the point where he's bigger than the X-Men, actually. So there was a cartoon called Wolverine and the X-Men, and there's a current comic book series called Wolverine and the X-Men. I don't know if many people, I guess Batman and the Outsiders would be up there as well, but I think the Outsiders were a team formed by Batman. But yeah, Wolverine gets around, huge star of the Marvel Universe now. Also, currently an Avenger, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not reading, but I just see other people talking about it. It's safer to list what teams he's not on than it. He's definitely not in the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's all I know.
Not yet. But yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting. And like I said, like we mentioned, I think Hugh Jackman in this past decade has been a huge part of his continuous popularity because Hugh Jackman, I think much like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, has breathed a special life into these characters. Like you can't see this character being portrayed by anybody else. And it's going to be really odd when he eventually does step down from the role and is replaced. This is his second standalone film. We really probably don't talk about the first one too much. Or ever, but...
What movie are you talking about?
Did you get an Adamantium bullet to the head?
Are you talking about X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yeah.
That attempt to spawn a spin-off series from the X-Men franchise, which then folded back into itself and swallowed its own tail and died on the vine. Can I use other euphemisms for the fact that it was terrible? Because it was. Notice there's no X-Men Origins Storm or X-Men Origins Magneto like they were talking about for a while.
Well, I don't know if we would want X-Men Origins Storm.
X-Men Origins Storm. Halle Berry puts on a wig.
No, her backstory and her kid and stuff, like, I don't know. I think it'd be... Here's the thing. That movie was just so frustrating. The amount of superheroes it managed to screw it. Like, I watched X3 and I was like, holy crap, Brett Ratner just completely destroyed the Dark Phoenix saga. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe this next one will be good. It has Gambit in it. And then I was watching it and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, X-Men 3 was so bad, I would take my friends to see it because I wanted them to see how bad it was. Wolverine Origins was so bad, I didn't finish watching it and told my other friends, you're not allowed to see this. No, Matthew. He's like, but I was like, no, you do not give them your money.
Did he see it anyhow?
Perhaps, just I don't think he paid for it.
Okay.
I know there was some unfinished effects in the version he saw, though, so I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too. I saw that, too. And even after seeing that, I still saw it in theaters.
Oh, you're what's wrong with our culture.
Because I didn't want to say anything about the movie, seeing a copy of it. Maybe like with special effects and, you know, sound effects and music, it would work better. And granted, to be fair, I also didn't pay for it then. I think I snuck into it after a movie, so I missed like the first 10 minutes. Like, I think I started and they were on the battlefield already or something like
that's
that.
Fair enough, then.
Which also meant that I missed the decent part of Deadpool in that entire movie.
I do like the fact that you thought, but maybe it would be fixed with special effects. It's like, yeah, this is like the problem with Hollywood in a nutshell. You can't fix a bad story with special effects.
God, they really screwed up Deadpool too.
Oh man, they did. That beginning, I liked him at the beginning, and then.
Yeah, I was okay with him at the beginning too. And then afterwards, I was just like, oh, what is wrong with his face? That's how his mask looks. Oh, my God. What a laser eyes. What's happening?
Like, if they never make a Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds, I'm going to seriously just blame the entire second half of that movie. Because I think if they just left it alone, they would have been like, look, people love him.
Sure, anyway. I don't think Ryan Reynolds is a good actor anyway.
No, but I like him in that role.
I was going to say, I also don't know if Hollywood wants to bet any more films on him after having two movies not do too well in the same weekend, on top of his several other disappointing box office
returns. Well, when you think about it, he's never played a superhero in any movie that has been a success critically or commercially. That includes Blade Trinity. Because technically speaking, he's played three comic book personalities, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Blade Trinity, written and directed by David Goyer. Huh.
I don't know. I will say, David Goyer is like the luckiest man in Hollywood. Like, he got by because the Nolan Batman trilogy took off, in spite of him, I would imagine.
Well, no, because the first two Blades, he wrote them too. I mean, like, he was been behind that franchise. It's just he had, you know, good directors to work with, and Guillermo del Toro is awesome. And I'd argue that Blade 2 might be up there in terms of his best movies. But that's another discussion. But yeah, David Goyer failed upwards.
Yeah.
Upwards. Yeah.
I just hope...
He better be sucking Christopher Nolan's dick at every opportunity.
I just hope that he gives them an outline and they get somebody else to write it up. I still say call him Bruce Timm. Like, he doesn't have to do the script, just have him punch up the dialogue and the characterizations. But, yeah, back to, getting back, so I don't seem so bad. I wouldn't mind an X-Men Origin Storm movie. I just don't want Halle Berry Storm.
I'll allow it.
Storm. She needs to work. She can only get so many Razzies.
But yeah, then she should stop working. This way, she can't get any more.
Well, man, don't lie, guys. She's making that fat Gothica cash.
She's
collecting residuals, left and right. That massive hit.
She just made a WWE film. I mean, I don't know how much of your career can go. You might as well start doing Lifetime TV movies. At that point.
To put this in perspective, I think Tara Reid just starred in Sharknado.
Yes.
So I think that's
her life is just an omni.
I don't feel like WWE movies that are unrelated to the WWE are the bottom of the rung. I really think sci-fi movies are.
Well, Sharknado,
I'm willing to bet more people saw Sharknado than
Sharknado was the shit. Have you not seen it yet?
I have not.
They're greenlighted a sequel.
I've seen enough sci-fi movies. And they greenlit Ghost Shark. But the call actually made decent money. It made almost $60 million off of a $13 million budget. So it did well for her. It means she also got paid pennies for that if it's only a $13 million budget. But, yeah. back to Wolverine. And the X-Men, I guess, and his next appearance would be in that fantastic cameo in X-Men First Class.
Oh, awesome.
Which is probably the best Marvel cameo in any Marvel film to date.
I'll agree with that. That was...
I'm a big fan of Stan Lee cameos.
I'm a fan of Stan Lee cameos, but, I mean, I don't know if any of them compare to that one.
Yeah.
It
wasn't even just how good it was, it's that no one knew it was there. Like, it wasn't, like... Normally the cameos are like, oh yeah, and X is going to be in it, and B, and Y, and C, and look, there's a thing. Like, people who saw the movie in previews didn't give it away, which is amazing.
It was subtle, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you heard, oh, yeah, Rebecca Romijn shows up. Like, oh, gee, I wonder what she's doing in it. Oh, could she possibly be related to Mystique? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, compare that to X-Men Days of Future Past, which isn't out for another year. And we pretty much have all of the cast and all of the cast, who I have to imagine, are making just brief cameos, because there's no way they can fit all these people into this film and not make it be a custom mock.
You say that now. But do you know?
Do you think they can pull it off?
I have no idea.
It's Bryan Singer.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, X-Men 2, they got rid of most of the cast for half the movie.
So? It was a great movie.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it wasn't a great movie. I'm just saying that he figured he couldn't do he couldn't juggle all these characters, so he got rid of half of them for part of the movie.
But maybe that'll happen again.
And, which is my point, is that then you basically have people who are in there for extended cameos. I mean, you add in the fact that this is a time travel storyline, and that's all mumble jumble, wibbly wobbly.
Gonna be great.
Timey wimey.
I'm excited. I tend to be excited for any comic book movie, except for the ones that you shouldn't be excited for, kids. Don't see R.I.P.D. Don't see Red 2.
I think they're already not seeing R.I.P.D. I don't think you have to push
to that. And it's Men in Black with dead people.
Yeah.
And the script is terrible, and the actors actually are kind of terrible, too. And I love Jeff Bridges, and I tolerate Ryan Reynolds, but they were just really awful. And
wait,
what's interesting...
You actually saw this movie?
What?
You actually saw this movie?
Yeah. And the guy who directed it is actually... It's interesting that it comes out the same weekend as Red 2, because the guy who directed it is the guy who directed Red 1. So I don't know what's up with that.
There's a lot of bad decisions going around Hollywood, which is why I can't wait to see 2015's calendar.
Oh, God.
Talking about 2015's calendar?
Yeah.
There are so many movies that should be giant coming out that year. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, but they can't all be giant, which is...
I know. I can't wait.
So, there's always delays.
Yeah, but who's... I mean, like... Looking at it right now, who can you see as being the giant, the kind of the victims, the casualties of that year?
I don't know. See, and this is the point that I was trying to argue in the last Ask a Dork, is I feel like you can really easily cannibalize a movie season by releasing nothing but blockbusters. I think that's what we've seen so far this summer. We've seen so many blockbusters that there's nothing but a nonstop of diminishing returns, so even when something is only in theaters for a month, it still feels like it's been out forever. So, like Man of Steel has only been out for like a month, but it feels like it's been like 3 months, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's normal for summer, I think. But you're right. I think you're right in the fact that you see so many blockbusters coming out that were supposed to be huge and haven't been as so. And I would argue whether that's the fact that they're just being put out or the fact that they just weren't well made.
I mean, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I feel like there are a lot of movies that just kind of feel like we've seen this before, or we've seen this very recently, or it just kind of fills the same void. Like, I mean, you know, most of the May films, I don't think anything in May really underperformed. And then you started hitting June, and a lot of those films started, and then Desire is the same thing. I don't think any film has really, I guess Despicable Me 2 has been the only one that's kind of exceeded expectations so far.
I have a question. I don't think it was ever really answered by the marketing or any of the reviews or anything to do with the movie at all. Did Benedict Cumberbatch actually play Khan? Because I know it was such a big... I do know. But I was making a joke.
And he played it well, actually.
I was making a joke.
Oh, yeah, and it wasn't even like a huge review. I mean, everybody knew it.
Yeah, it's like, why did you even bother... Like, they flat out lied at everything to do with that movie. It's like, he's not Khan. And then in the movie, oh, yeah, no, I'm Khan. I'm a white British dude playing an Asian.
Okay, first of all, the last person to play that role, and it's supposed to be an Indian Asian. The last person to play that role was also British, first of all.
Oh, he wasn't?
Yeah, he was.
Montalban?
Yeah.
He's not British.
No, he lived in Britain at the time.
Yeah, he was not British. He was very not British. What's the word I'm looking for? He was Hispanic descent. I'm not sure what country exactly, but he's definitely not British.
Hispanic, yes.
He's Montalban. It's Mas Macho.
But yeah, no, I didn't actually listen to any of the rhetoric going in, so I didn't know what the plot was about. And I was kind of expecting as I was watching that it was going to be he is Khan, but I wasn't 100% sure. And I don't know.
Yeah, they said in every piece of everything to do with the movie, like from the beginning, they're like, he's not Khan. No, he's a new character, Why? It would have been so easy to not make him Khan, and it would not have mattered, because in the movie, in the original, in the Star Trek II Wrath of Khan, Khan makes sense because he was a character that existed before. He was on the show. He was awesome. Putting him in the movie, this movie, has no connection to any of that except the fact that it's a name.
Well, they kind of do because they go back and they mention the original appearance because they have that alternate universe Spock there as well.
Yeah.
But
it's really weird. It's like why walk that?
New Spock was talking to old Spock, and he's like, hey, old Spock, you ever run into this Khan guy before? And old Spock is like, fucking yeah, that guy is crazy. You shouldn't trust him. I had to pay a big toll. And then New Spock is like, all right, let's do this. Tell me I'm wrong, right?
If that was how the movie actually went, 10 stars. 10 out of 5.
We're going to have Trent Jive Talk all movie reviews from now on.
I really need to start, yeah.
That's what we're going to do. Here's any movie. You have me describe what happens, and then Trent gets to review it. So you're like, holy shit, dude, there was this dragon, and he did some shit, and then it was awesome, but people died. It was fucked up. All right, Trent, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Man, I don't know, this motherfucker over here.
But yeah, that was kind of one of those movies that was decent, but didn't leave any type of impression on me, and I don't know if I'd be excited for a third.
Don't worry about it. You'll just go see Star Wars instead.
Well, I'm sure, like, it's going to depend on a lot of stuff, whether we're interested or not, right? Like, I could tell you, like, as of the start of the summer, I was totally 100% not at all interested in The Wolverine. But a whole lot of critics that I kind of respect went to see it, and they said that it is of the quality of Marvel movie we have had come to expect as of late, you know?
I don't want to sound bad. I enjoy the Marvel movies. I think most of them are average or good. I don't think many of them are great. And the one thing I've heard about The Wolverine, and I've heard this from the director as well, is that the marketing betrays it, where they kind of play it up as an action-heavy movie, which it isn't.
I'm okay with that, though, because, like, the problem with the Wolverine, like, Wolverine Origins, the problem with the Origins movie is that, like, character development and plausible scenarios and characters in general kind of took a backseat to action. And the problem with visually stunning action is that you get tired of it. It doesn't have any impact unless it has some sort of meaning applied to it. So I'd much rather it be character heavy and delve into something other than his fucking origins, which I've heard too many times before.
Or the origin of his jacket.
Oh, yeah. I'd actually, where did you get that Levi's jacket? Well, it starts to
sit down. I've got a story for you.
I would much rather watch a Wolverine documentary where he travels to a Honduran sweatshop to show us the origins of the jacket he always wears than I would another fucking story about his exoskeleton and the Weapon X program. Like, it's one of these things, like, I'm pretty sure the audience is aware. I'm pretty sure we know. Do something different.
And this is what this film looks to be, which is why I'm kind of excited to see it now. Because I've heard good things about, you know, the team-up. And like I said, Hugh Jackman tends to do it. For even in Wolverine Origins, he's still a good Wolverine in that film. It's just a really bad film around him. It's kind of like Christopher Reeves in Superman 3 and 4. You're not a fan?
No. Superman 4?
Yeah. You don't like Christopher Reeves in that?
I don't like anyone in that.
I think the only reason 3 is any good at all, which it's not, but the only thing good in it is Christopher Reeve, and that's just because I think he was like, hey, let me play an evil one, which is true. I was reading about this. That entire plot point about the evil Superman is Christopher Reeve's idea that he gave to the producer. Says, here, put this in the movie. I want to do this. And they're like, all right, we'll add it in.
And then
the movie traumatized the shit out of me with that lady getting eaten by the computer.
Kids movies.
Kids movies.
Speaking of, what is the Wolverine rated?
PG.
It looks kind of mature, doesn't it?
I believe it's PG-13. I would be highly surprised if it's not.
Well, I mean, it seems like the type of film that... I mean, I always feel like Wolverine's the type of character who needs that. But, you know, it's like they always say it's kind of box office poison for especially for licensed products. Well, I don't even know what's the highest grossing R-rated comic book movie is. I'd imagine it'd probably be Watchmen. I guess Blade would be up there.
The Spirit. Oh, Sin City, technically.
Did that do well? I mean, I'm sure it's getting a sequel.
It fell enough to get a sequel.
If it's ever getting that sequel.
300. It has to be.
Oh. Okay, that could make sense. That's also getting a sequel if it ever comes out. Apparently, Frank Miller just can't get his movies out in time anymore.
Well, I think the problem... I don't even know if Frank Miller is really that involved.
I thought he was directing Sin City 2.
I think most of the responsibility is going to fall into Rodriguez's lap again, just because Frank Miller really screwed the pooch with The Spirit, to be honest.
Oh, it's a bad movie.
Oh, God, that movie.
It sounds awful, but I've watched it on so many occasions, and it's terrible, but there's Samuel L. Jackson, and it looks pretty, and I'm completely shallow when I watch it, but for some odd reason, I continue to watch it.
I think Rebecca Romijn's Stamos, well, not Stamos anymore, in this film. Does anybody know if anybody else is returning for this film, or is it just Wolverine flying solo?
Tomka Johnson's in it, in like a dream sequence or something, I think.
I hate when that happens.
When people are in your dream sequences?
No, just when, like, people are only there for a flashback or a dream sequence. Like, that is... I just think it sucks. I hate it.
I mean, I think it makes sense.
It's my favorite trope in any movie. It just seems lazy. It's a lazy way of connecting things.
From what I understand, that's like one of the few
connections. Sorry.
It's from what I understand, it's one of the only connections to the other movies. In the Wolverine, like that's for the most part, it's largely a separate from the rest of the series affair, which I'm fine with.
Mm.
I mean, how else would you? I mean, I guess it would be very confusing, but how else would you bring back a Jean Grey since she died in X-Men 3? Or would you just not have her mentioned in the film?
Well, I was going to say, let's just completely retcon X-Men 3.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be nice.
So I believe they're doing that, but don't quote me.
I would so happily support that decision.
From what I understand, and this is entirely based on speculation and prejudice and the fact that I hate them, I believe Days of Future Past is going to basically be Bryan Singer going, my bad, should have never left, all this shit didn't happen.
Good.
That's where you could bring the time travel shit in, man, and be like, hey, sorry, guys. She's totally alive. Yay. And now she's going to get possessed by the Phoenix Force, oh no!
And then he gets to make his proper X-Men 3.
Darkly.
If only they could redo the Dark Phoenix set, because it was like any comic book dork knows that is like one of the best arcs in all of X-Men.
I would say not even comic book dorks. I mean, people, especially in our generation, growing up on the X-Men the animated series, that was one of the big arcs as well. And everybody knew where X-Men 3 was supposed to be leading, and then we got this. Oh, it's just this personality he had hidden mentally. Like, no, it's not. it's this alien creature. It's not hate personality for her.
Even the animated series didn't handle it really well.
Well, it handled it, yeah, because, I mean, they had to tone it down to make it out more kid-friendly.
Yeah, but you could also say cartoon, like, comic books are for kids, too. Like, we had the...
They haven't been in a long time.
No, I know, but you know, we had the comic books of that in our house, and I remember thinking when I was watching the cartoon series, which I and every intelligent kid that age loved,
Have you watched it recently?
It does not hold up.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But at the time, like you can still hear like the theme song in your head, I bet. It's happening right now. You're thinking of it. Anyway,
finish the song.
I remember when I was watching it, like, wait a minute. She is supposed to pay for her people are fucking dead. Planets are what's going on? I just remember feeling like so gypped because essentially just because Jean didn't get her just desserts. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is like a movie, like people can freaking die. And ignoring the fact that Cyclops died off screen, like at the start of the movie, I was like, shit's going to get real. And then it never got real. It just continued to make me depressed. X3. I cannot. I hate X3.
Now I'm curious, which do you dissect more, X3 or Wolverine Origins?
X3, because it set a precedent, I would say. It set, like, people still went to see it. It still made money. So I think the people behind Marvel movies at the time valued intelligent screenwriters and competent directors less. And that's what allowed Origins to become such a wad of shit. Like, in terms of composition, I think that X3 is probably a more competent movie than Origins, but I have a lot more bile for X3 than I do X-Men Origins. Because I never expected X-Men Origins to be done well. And I was vindicated in that assumption.
Fair enough.
You've already had my response to this question.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like I think it's a toss-up, but I think I want to go with Wolverine Origins, just because not only did it butcher Wolverine, but it also killed one of my favorite comic book characters in Deadpool, and the damn magic bullet. I hate stuff like that at the end of the film. Yeah. It's like you wrote yourself into a wall, so just make up this magical item.
MacGuffins.
It's not a MacGuffin, though, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Isn't it a Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah, that's it.
A MacGuffin would be something you search for that has no actual meaning to anybody who not in the movie.
Yeah.
This animanium bullet just was like, why? And I was like, I can't watch that movie again. I can watch X-Ray again. Somewhat. I try not to, but I can't watch.
Don't call me by my slave name. Shut the fuck up, Mystique. that entire movie. And the X... Oh, God. Brett Ratner is such a hack. Like, I feel the anger growing inside me. I blame you for this.
Earl, quick. Change the subject. Quick. Before he turns into Hulk Trent.
That would be awesome. But, yeah. I mean, are you folks going to check out Wolverine or... The Wolverine this weekend, or are you just going to check it out? Well, I guess this could kind of tie into the other discussion we've been having this whole show as well. Have you been watching a lot of movies opening the weekend, or you just kind of wait it out?
It depends on the movie. There are some movies that I'll see as soon as possible. Pacific Rim, I think I saw second or third week. And in terms of the Wolverine, I am going to wait, just because I'm interested in seeing it, so I will see it in theater, but I'm not a diehard Wolverine fan, and I'm still a little bit jaded towards X-Men, so I'm going to give it a bit of a break. Actually, this weekend I'm planning on seeing The Conjuring. So.
I want to point this out before, Nick. Could you mention this before about like, how movies feel so old? And it's because Pacific Rim hasn't even been out for 2 weeks yet.
It hasn't?
It has.
I thought it came out the 12th.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is a week and a half then. So, yeah, it hasn't been 2 weeks yet. You're right.
Yeah, because you were saying you saw a second, third week. I'm like, the movie's not that old yet, is it?
Does it not feel like it, though?
It does feel like it's been forever ago, but yeah, it's been less than 2 weeks now.
Seeing as I've only seen two movies in the theater this summer, it has not been an issue for me either way.
I like how you say theater. In the theater.
Theater. I'm sorry, I overpronounce things sometimes. It actually comes, this is going to sound really stupid, but it actually comes from when I was doing theater work. Is that, you're supposed to,
Does that sound stupid? Is that what you're about to ask me?
No, like that's one of those, you're supposed to over enunciate and make sure your words are spoken clearly. Because if you're on stage talking, if you're on stage talking and you're slurring your words, people aren't going to be able to understand what you're saying. And that's how I roll.
Yeah.
Occasionally I also like to slur my words, because that's how I do.
I've been looking up, I think half of my movies I've seen this summer so far have been free of France screenings. I saw Pacific Rim, Man of Steel, Star Trek, Ahead of Time.
Trek. There's an E in it.
Star Trek. Whatever. I saw that. And then the only films I've seen, Iron Man 3, Fast and the Furious 6, White House Down, I think are the movies I've paid to see this summer. So far I've had better luck seeing movies for free than I have paying for them. So that tells you my taste is awful. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in seeing The Wolverine. It's one of those films that I want to see with friends, so I never know when I can get those people together to see something like this. Hopefully we can work it out. Yeah, I guess any other thoughts about The Wolverine and the X-Men franchise or summer movies before we begin to wrap?
I can't wait to see Elysium.
I'm also really excited for Elysium.
That's going to be, even though I'm...
That is the last thing in this summer that I'm actually excited to see.
You're not excited to see the Smurfs 2?
See what?
The Smurfs 2.
Is that even a question?
Oh, so you're super excited to see it.
Oh, God. I would rather watch Silent Hill Revelations again than watch Smurfs.
Okay, then we have a deal. You will watch Silent Hill Revelations instead of the Smurfs 2.
Bullshit.
Excellent.
Bullshit.
We have it on record. You said you'd rather watch.
I said I would rather. I didn't say
so you're going to watch it.
But he didn't say he's going to. He's right. He didn't actually say he's going to.
He's going to watch it. I can edit this around and make it sound like he said he's going to watch it.
Yeah. Okay, Nick, to give you a bit of a preamble, you know 151 proof movies?
Yeah.
I did Silent Hill once, and I got completely sloshed. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen Silent Hill Revelations. It makes me want to stab my eyes. I actually got into it with the director because he didn't like what I had to say about it in my review.
Awesome.
So it's one of these things, like, I don't want to watch it again because it makes my brain hurt. And as soon as I mention that around Earl, he has tried to twist my words every time Silent Hill comes up into me rewatching that goddamn movie.
It sounds like the perfect movie to do it to. I'm just saying.
It sounds like a terrible movie in general.
You know what's funny is all the shit I've talked on movies and reviews and on Twitter and on Facebook and everywhere, I've never gotten into an altercation with someone in said movies. I've had people, like, you know, that I've said nice things about talk to me. That's about it.
No, I posted, it wasn't even a review. I posted this, I called it a Nerd Rage article, and it was, like, if printed out, it would have been about 9 pages worth of me deconstructing everything that was wrong with me. And I was full of bile, and I was really pissed, and I was using swear words, and I was making the director / writer / producer that he is look like an incompetent tool, which he is. And I posted it to, what is that film site, Letterboxd? I posted it to Letterboxd because I have an account there, and I got a message over Letterboxd from Michael J. Bassett about the comments that I had about his movie, and he thought that they were unfair. And he said, I didn't appreciate your review of Silent Hill Revelations. And I said, I didn't appreciate your movie, Silent Hill Revelations.
That's fantastic. So,
I think we're on great terms so far. But no, I don't want to watch it for 151 proof movies.
That was a lot more.
I think I would die of alcohol poisoning.
If he'd been like, I don't appreciate your review, blah, blah, I would have been like, well, you could suck my dick. which is probably a lot less classy.
Well, but, he did have to shoot a movie twice, so.
The thing that bothered me the most in that scenario, and I know you guys have heard me rant about the first Silent Hill movie a lot, I really disliked it because Christoph Gans knew nothing about the franchise, but he never claimed to know anything about the franchise. So I can't fault all of his aesthetic and filmmaking choices because the fucker just doesn't understand the concept that he's trying to convey. Whereas Michael J. Bassett went on all these rants and all these public dialogues about how he's a massive fan of the series. Silent Hill 3 was his favorite game. So I figured where Silent Hill Revelations is based on Silent Hill 3, he would be really excellent at conveying that point. And nothing in his filmography indicated that he was a bad filmmaker. So I was really actually hopeful. I was stupidly hopeful going into this sequel to this movie I hated. And I remember sitting there in the final act when two monsters are fighting like fucking Pokemon. And I just started laughing really loudly. And I walked out with the biggest frown on my face. It was just emotionally traumatic. And then I wrote a 9-page review of his terrible, terrible movie, which actually made me like the original Silent Hill a little bit more. That's all I had to say.
Can't wait till you watch it again.
Let me ask you a question, because I haven't seen any of them. Is Silent Hill Revelations the one that has Jon Snow in it?
Jon Snow? Yes, it does. It has Jon Snow and Sean Bean. And surprisingly, they never look at each other like, hello, son. Hello, father.
I thought Sean Bean was in the first one.
He was. I did see the end of it.
The first one as filler, as Christopher, a character that doesn't actually exist within the canon of the universe. And then he was in the second one as Harry Mason, who is the protagonist of the first game. His role doesn't make much sense, but he was in the second one, and it's heavily implied that the ending of Silent Hill Revelations leads into a movie iteration of Silent Hill 2, which doesn't make a terrible amount of sense.
Ooh, does that mean we get a sequel? Trilogy!
I really don't think we will, because the movie got off in terrible reviews.
Yeah, I don't even remember where you kind of hit in box office.
It did. It was in post-production hiatus for about a year. And then when it was released after post-production 3D conversion, it was like, oh my god, this is terrible.
Okay, so, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm only going to... If I see any movies the rest of the summer, I'm going to see two, and that's it.
Smurfs and...
Silent Hill.
Already wrong.
What else about this film?
The 300 sequel was supposed to come out, but I hear that's being pushed back.
Oh, that got
next year.
Yeah.
Because I hear it's awful.
Yeah. It's probably true.
I want to see, I think, Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, Kick-Ass 2, yeah. That would be the other one that I'd be looking forward to.
And I want to see Two Guns. That looks interesting.
I do not want to see Two Guns.
And A World to End.
Yes, I want to watch the shit out of that movie.
Yes.
Edgar Wright can do any movie he wants. I'll see it.
Okay.
He could film Smurfs 3. I'd see it.
Well, don't be careful what you wish for, because there is a Smurfs 3 coming out in 2015.
Why? Why do we keep making these movies? It wasn't even a good cartoon. What is wrong with people?
Even funnier... John Oliver plays, I think, Brady Smurf. I don't remember which one. On his podcast, The Bugle, they mercilessly make fun of him for it. Like, good. Mercilessly. And he's like, yeah, I know, it's terrible. But paycheck was really nice.
They're collecting paychecks, and I get it. But a big part of me is like, fucking Neil Patrick Harris, you're better than this. God.
I was also going to say, if that makes you excited, 2015 also hosts the fourth Alvin and the Chipmunk movie, I believe.
Why do they keep making those ones, too?
Because of Anthony, who I don't think you've been on the show with yet, but he was the other podcast host who has seen all three of them, apparently.
Why? They named one of their movies Chipwrecked. Chipwrecked! That's not even a word!
It's a great pun. You gotta give them that much.
You're all dead to me. Especially this Anthony character. I'm sure he knows.
I'm sure he listens to his show now that he's not on it.
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman. Get out!
But yes, I guess before we wrap, we can do Batman Versus. We haven't done this in a while, and might as well, since you got suggestions. So, who wants to pick a number between 1 and 5?
7. No, 8. No! 23.
Okay.
14.
Okay, you two can't count, so we're just going to do Batman versus Indiana Jones.
Batman.
Yay! Indiana Jones punches people.
So does Batman.
Indiana Jones is a whip.
Batman does not.
Batman has every other
weapon. Advantage Indiana Jones!
Batman has a bat line and also batarangs.
I was about to say, he also has a grapple hook and a bat nine. So he has long-distance weapons.
Which, with greater range than a whip.
Yeah.
You're breaking my balls.
All he's got to do is hang upside down from a gargoyle, and then when Indiana Jones walks under him, unsuspectingly, he hits the Y button, and he drops down and performs an invert kick.
Indiana Jones was never afraid of bats. Advantage Indiana Jones.
Batman's never afraid of nothing.
Well, he was afraid of bats.
But he's not.
Well, he's not afraid of snakes.
Well, snakes are freaky.
I would say bats are scarier than snakes are.
Let me think here. Indiana Jones survived a near deadly encounter with Shia LaBeouf.
Batman survived. Hold on, I got this one. Batman not only survived, he took down the everlasting god of all evil with a time bullet.
That was going to be the answer too, so
I could defeat any argument with that statement. It's great. Batman killed a god with a time bullet.
Indiana Jones defeated aliens.
So has Batman. He just said he
defeated. Batman defeated a lot of them. Batman has his own flying saucer.
Yeah, according to Batman, he has a giant piece of rock that will take down one, but he only needs a 5-cent box of matches to take down Martian Manhunter.
Indiana Jones gets more pooty.
Batman has a son. Well, they both have sons.
Batman has Indiana Jones gets a lot more pooty.
No, I wouldn't say. I think Batman.
He had two girls?
Batman's got his entire Bruce Wayne persona where he could just take any woman he wants.
He took the entire Bay on that cruise in the Dark Knight.
Yeah, and let's look at the quality as well. Indiana Jones got Karen Allen, what's her face? Mrs. Spielberg and the Nazi girl. Batman's got Talia, Catwoman, Zatanna.
And Vicky Vale.
And and Silver St. Cloud, and you. I was just going with the good ones, though. But there you go. That's an advantage, Batman.
And not to mention, I mean, he had Nicole Kidman, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Anne Hathaway. I mean, that's just top-notch quality across the board.
Nicole Kidman, really top-notch quality?
I thought Nicole Kidman in Batman Forever was extremely hot. I don't know if she.
In the movie, yes, she was.
Yeah, I don't think she holds up, but she's extremely hot.
I don't think she holds up.
That movie did not hold up. No,
I think she holds up, but at the time, she was.
Listen, I'm going to commit blasphemy. None of them do.
I mean, if we're talking about her today, she's so on a good day, but back then.
I'll be honest. None of the Burton era through Schumacher movies really hold up that well.
I still like the first two. I still watch them.
I like the first two. And I know that they kind of suck if you're a comic book fan, and there's a lot of choices that he made that don't make a lot of sense. But
not even that. If you suck as a if you are a person who wants things to make sense within themselves, Batman. All right, Batman's record scratches a CD. He uses a CD and record scratches.
You know what?
You can't do that.
Without the success and the aesthetic choices of the first Batman movie, we would not have Batman the Animated Series. And I'm not grateful for that series.
I'm not disagreeing on its place in history. I just think, you know, looking at it now, I mean, at the time I thought it was the best thing since ever. But looking at it now with a cold appraising eye, I'm like, well, that doesn't really make sense. And, you know, in Batman Returns, Batman kind of kills people.
Yep.
And not in the, I'm just not going to save you way, but in the, like, he straps dynamite to a dude and then lights him on fire with his car. So, that happened.
Mm. Yep. Batman, the Schumacher films, Batman Forever, I'll still watch Batman Forever. I don't mind it a terrible amount. It's not great by any stretch of the imagination. Providing you're going in understanding that his inspiration is not the Batman comic books so much as it is like Adam West's iteration of Batman. I'm assuming Joel Schumacher just saw like 10 episodes of Adam West's Batman and was like, I can make this film.
Well, I mean, it's a possibility. I'm sure there are people, you know, it would have been around the time he was growing up as a kid that it was on and he probably took influence from it. But yeah, you could tell that he really wanted to kind of do that style. But, you know, there's a craftsmanship that goes into the Adam West series that they just couldn't replicate because they wanted to walk that line between the tone that was kind of set by Burton, which they felt had spectacularly well in Batman and Robin. But, so I think right now points are all on Batman except for, well, I mean, Indiana Jones did have Shia Booth, so I don't care how many women you have. If that's your offspring, I think you use automatically.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have a counter for that?
No. But if we're looking at... it's hard. It's hard because if you look at Batman's capabilities and Indiana Jones's capabilities, Indiana Jones clearly has less. And the reasoning that you have for like why he's such a badass is like, oh, well, Indiana Jones is still really freaking clever. But then you're like, oh, but Batman is also really clever. Like, yeah. Batman is just a jack of all trades, plus he's rich, plus he is really good at fighting, plus he's really clever. And it's unfortunate for anyone else who isn't him. He's just kind of awesome
Batman
at whatever he decides
Batman's Indiana Jones plus
a
ninja plus Dracula plus Iron Man.
Money. Plus money.
Well, that was the Iron Man part, but yeah, Batman takes another round. Thank you for that. And as always, you can leave us suggestions for Batman Versus on our Twitter feed, on this podcast show notes, email, what have you. You can check out the website. Actually, we're doing this on Wednesday, so Trent's Ask a Dork isn't up. I actually have no idea what's going on with Nicholas's feature.
It's coming. There's a lot of shit going on that has prevented me from writing recently. Illness.
Forgotten how to read?
Things like that. No, probably going to be moving again. Bunch of other stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to get it off the ground. I might as well reveal what it is now, since I've been teasing it for a while and never told anybody. I'm going to be doing Evangelion. Instead of doing the A to Z of Geek Cinema, which I finished up, I'm going to be going through Evangelion and talking about each episode as it happens, and then doing the movies. So that's going to be fun because I love that series and I haven't watched it in forever. And I've not seen any of the recent rebirth or rebuild, whatever they're calling it. I haven't seen any of them. So,
I have the first two on DVD and I very much like them.
Yes, I have them on my computer now. I just haven't watched them yet.
After you're done doing that, can you go through Escaflowne?
I've never seen that.
You should. I think you would like
short.
It. The TV series, no. The movie, yes. But the movie actually retcons essentially everything except for the characters in the TV series. I highly recommend you never watch the Escaflowne movie.
Then I will consider it. But yes, it will be called the New Testament.
Good.
Okay. I will have a something on Superman Batman this week. It won't. I don't want to dogpile in the articles that have come out this week talking about how much of a terrible idea this is for DC. Especially now, I'm actually excited for this film. I don't have any reason not to be yet. They haven't announced anything to get angry about yet. So I don't know what people are going to do when they actually do announce stuff to get angry about, if they're already angry now. Other than that, this show, we don't have a 151 proof movie this week, which I'm sad. I probably should do Sharknado. I really need to see that film. Maybe I'll do Silent Hill Revelations. Who knows? actually, you can check out our reviews about WWE movies in the bank films we've done this month. We've done The Marine 2, The Marine 3, See No Evil, and The Chaperone. Surprisingly enough, two of those have been not half bad movies.
How was See No Evil?
Terrible. I did not like See No Evil.
So that was the one that sucked.
See No Evil and The Marine 2 sucked. I didn't mind. I was actually pleasantly surprised by The Chaperone, and I enjoyed The Marine 2. It's not a great film, but it's a decent enough action movie. The Chaperone actually has a lot of heart to it, and Triple H is a terrible actor, but yeah, there's no but to that statement. He just does this growl and this thing with his nose when he squints.
Nose.
Yeah, it's really hard. I don't know how you dress that up. And it's really weird seeing him, because he's cut his hair since then, but the ponytails, I don't really know many male actors who rock the ponytail, so it's really weird to see somebody with that long hair in a movie. Anyhow, that's that for this week. Like I said, check out the website, check follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Google+, if you still use that. We'll post links, questions, all that fun jazz, maybe some contests in the future. For Nicholas, Trent, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 139.